I bring you greetings to all friends and visitors today, especially also for the regular visitors. Okay. Our visitors today may have heard of some of Jesus' teaching. And Jesus often surprised people with teaching that cut across the grain of human nature. For example, lose your life to save it. And he also said, the first shall be last. He also said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Rejoice in persecution. And this one is hard to swallow. Love your enemies. He also said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And this one is probably the hardest. He said, whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him, the other also. But by far, the most outrageous assertion Jesus ever made, his most politically incorrect claim of all, was when he declared in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This claim causes annoyance of people like no other. He has been called arrogant and narrow-minded and bigoted or even snobbish. Today we have some visitors in our midst, and some of you are seekers. And something inside of you are perhaps questioning at this claim. For you, it may be a stumbling block to faith. But let me tell you that Jesus was telling the truth when he said it. And he said it out of compassion, not out of arrogance. And when we looked closer at it, this statement makes ultimate sense. In fact, I believe this single sentence is one of the most critically important bits of information on the planet. So why is this claim so controversial? One reason is that it strikes at the core of three great myths about religion. And so, in examining this statement by Jesus, I thought it would be good and a good idea to address these three common misconceptions. And maybe these are myths that you have heard. Or maybe there are myths that you believe right now. So let's deal with the first myth, which is this. All religions are basically the same. You have probably heard people say that although there are surface level distinctions between the various world religions, and if you strip them all down to their essentials, all religions fundamentally teach the same thing. So it doesn't really matter which one you follow. In other words, all spiritual paths lead up to the same mountain, because all religions basically teach the brotherhood and sisterhood of men and women and the universal fatherhood of God. Now, there's some common ground between many of the world's religions. Particularly concerning certain basic values and morality. There is that all religions teach one thing in common, although they teach people to love. But there are significant differences too. In fact, with this one remarkable assertion, Jesus boldly puts Christianity in a separate class by itself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If the path to God is through Jesus, then Christianity cannot be reconciled with any other religions. This uniqueness of Christianity is rooted in the uniqueness of Jesus himself. Someone once noted that the other religious leaders say, follow me and I'll show you how to find truth. But Jesus says, I am the truth. Other religious leaders say, follow me and I will show you the way to salvation. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Other religious leaders say, follow me and I will show you how to become enlightened. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Other religious leaders say, follow me and I will show you many doors that lead to God. But Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the only door. So then Jesus said, follow me. Do you see the difference? For a long time, people have tried to harmonize the various religions of the world, but they are drastic and irreconcilable differences between Christianity and other belief systems. Every other religion we have seen is based on people doing something. Through struggling and striving. But only Christianity says, trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ has accomplished, has done all the work for us. So the difference is really two letters. Do versus done. I don't know how it's going to interpret that in Chinese. Now the Muslims try very hard to earn favor of Allah by doing whatever He commands them in hope of entering into their version of paradise. Now this is in the Quran. I do not make this up. Where you can, in the paradise, where you can drink wine, eat meat, and enjoy polygamous marriage in the heaven. Both Buddhists and Hindus believe in karma. Which implies that every action results in a reaction. The ultimate end of both religions is to be able to get out of karma by doing good to all living things by minimizing their sufferings. Our Roman Catholic friends try very hard to please their God by doing good, by giving alms to the poor through charity or donation, and by attending various rituals and going through different ceremonies. There are tens of people to reach out to God. But Jesus Christ is God reaching out to us. Jesus taught the opposite of what other religions teach. He said, nobody can do anything to merit heaven. So we might as well give up trying. He said, we are all guilty of sin. And that's consistent with our experience, isn't it? Nobody here would claim to be perfect. For example, God said, "Thou shalt not kill." But you said, "I haven't killed anyone yet." But Jesus said, "If you hated someone, that is equal to murder." God also said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." But he said, "I have been faithful to my wife or husband ever since we got married." But Jesus said, "If you lust after a woman in your heart, that is equal to adultery." God also said, "Thou shalt not steal." But he said, I have never been caught stealing. But yet, have you ever stolen anything from your parent or your sibling? I have confessed. Or taken anything without asking that does not belong to you. God also said, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." But you said, "I have only told white lies before." But God says, whatever that is not consistent with this truth is a lie. And Jesus said that our wrongdoings, our sin, separates us from our holy and perfect God. And again, that's consistent with our own experience. Have you not ever felt distant or disconnected from God, your Creator? Of course you have. Because God is a righteous judge, our wrongdoing has been paid for. So out of His love, Jesus voluntarily offered Himself as our substitute to pay the penalty that we owed for our sin. And when we receive His sacrifice on our behalf, we become united with God for eternity. As we see around here, other religions are spelled do. Because they teach that people have to do a bunch of things. Do a lot of things, going through ceremonies, going through rituals, in order to please God. But Christianity is spelled done, D-O-N-E, because Christ has done it all on the cross, and we just need to receive Him. This distinction is starkly demonstrated by comparing a parable taught by Jesus with a similar story found in Buddhism religion. Now both stories involve sons who became rebellious and left home. But who then saw the error of their ways and decided to come back and be reconciled with their families or parents. Now, in the Buddhist story, the errant son is required to work off the penalty of his past misdeeds by spending years in servitude as slaves. But in the Christian parable of the prodigal son, it ends with the repentant son being warmly welcomed home by his loving father and being given undeserved grace and forgiveness. And there are other fundamental differences between Christianity and other world religions as well. So not all religions are the same. For instance, Christianity says there is one eternal God. He created the universe. But other religions, such as Hinduism, says everything is God. You are God. I am a God. This podium is also God. Islam denies that Jesus was God, that he died for our sin. They believe in the five pillars of Islamic faith. Five pillars of Islamic faith. One is sincerely reciting the Muslim profession of faith. Second, performing rituals, prayers in the proper way, five times a day. Third, giving charity to the poor. And last two are fasting and pilgrimage to Mecca. How about Buddhism? Buddha does not even believe in a god, do you know? In Buddhism, anyone who reached a state of nirvana and is enlightened is a god. Nirvana is a transcendent state in which there is neither suffering, desire, nor sense of self, and the person is released from the effect of karma and the cycle of death and rebirth. Friends, these beliefs cannot all be true at the same time. They contradict each other too thoroughly. So all religions are not the same. And while other religious leaders can offer wise sayings and helpful insights, only Jesus Christ, because He is the perfect Son of God, is qualified to offer Himself as payment for our sin. So friends, it does not matter which path you follow in your spiritual journey. Jesus' own words dispel the myth that all paths lead to God. The second myth that Jesus dispels is related to the first. This myth says that even though Christianity might be different, it is still just one philosophy among many, and that is only as valid as any other religion. In other words, even if there are differences between religions, they all have equal claim on the truth. They say, you know, you have your truth and I have mine. What makes your claim more superior than mine? This myth has a certain amount of appeal to it. Because on the surface, it seems to reflect our pluralistic attitudes in our generation. After all, our society tells us to be tolerant of other views and be always politically correct. By the way, the Bible does tell us that we should be loving and accepting and respectful toward all people, regardless of their faith. After all, every life is equally precious in God's eyes. But that doesn't mean that what they believe are true. And of course, that means everybody is free to make the claim, as Jesus said, that they are that He is the way, the truth, and the life. The question is, how do we know that Jesus was telling the truth? Jesus backs up His claim, by the way, with the unique credentials that make Him uniquely credible. One of which is its biblical prophecies concerning him. Now, for instance, Jesus authenticated his claim of being God by fulfilling dozens of century-old, some 750 years ago, prophecies against every mathematical odd. Now, I have never bought any lottery myself. I'm making this illustration for just the purpose of illustration. You know what are the odds of winning Australia Powerball, which is a lottery? I checked last night. It is 1 in 76,676,600. The Old Testament written hundreds of years ago, before Jesus' birth, by the way, contains over 300 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled through his life, death, and resurrection. Now pay attention to this. What are the odds of that fulfilling in one man? Mathematically speaking, the odds of anyone fulfilling this amount of prophecies are staggering. So one person fulfilling just 8 of those prophecies is 1 in, I don't even know how to read this number here. 1 followed by so many zeros at the back. That's just 8 prophecies. Now, how about one person fulfilling just 48 prophecies? The chance is 10 to the 157th power. That means 157 zeros behind the 10. How about all 300 of them being fulfilled in one person? In terms of mathematical probability, it is 0. Well, in other words, it is impossible. But Jesus fulfilled all 300 plus prophecies without fail. All of them. All of them. Friends, Christianity isn't just a philosophy. It's reality. Jesus didn't just claim that he was the one and only Son of God, but he validated his claim like nobody else in history. So we have seen that the first myth, that all religions are basically the same. It isn't true, because Christ's teaching set Christianity apart from all other faiths. And the second myth, that Christianity is just one philosophy among many and only as valid as any other religions, well, it isn't true as well, because the unique credential of Christ gave him credibility like no other spiritual leader. In other words, when he claims to be the way to God, his credentials back him up. The third myth is one that says Christians are narrow-minded when they say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Now, I would agree, Christians would be acting in a narrow-minded way if there are really lots of paths to God. And they're saying that they were saying that theirs is the best way, but they're not saying that. They're saying that the truth of the matter is that someone has got to pay the penalty for our sin that keeps us away from God. And that is Jesus Christ. No one else. And Jesus, by virtue of his sinlessness and divinity, is the only one qualified to be our substitute. Only one. So that is just the reality of the situation. And it's not narrow-minded to act upon the evidence and pursue faith, pursue truth. I'll give you an illustration and I'm done. And then you see the picture of my daughter. Years ago, when our baby girl, Elizabeth, sitting at the back, was born, she developed jaundice shortly after birth. Jaundice is a liver disorder that caused her skin and the whites of her eyes to turn yellow. So the doctors told us that there is a potentially devastating disease, but it is easily treated.
And they had to, all they have to do is to put the baby, all we have to do is to put the baby under a special UV light for a while, and this would stimulate her liver properly, and she'll be all right. And that was exactly what we did. But now imagine, alternatively, we could have said to the doctor, "Oh, that sounds too easy. How about instead if we scrubbed her with soap and dip her in the bleach?" And if we work hard enough, I'm sure we could get her normal coloring back. We just have to work harder. But the doctor would have said, no. There's only one way to handle this. And we could have replied, "Oh, well, how about if we just sort of ignore this and pretend everything is okay? You know, the jaundice is your truth, doc, not our truth." If we sincerely believe that, things will work out for the best. All we need to do is to work hard and be sincere. That's what a lot of people work for their salvations in religions. The doctor would have said to us, "You would jeopardize your baby if you did not do that. Look, there's only one way to kill her." You're hesitant because it sounds too easy. But look at the credentials hanging on my wall. I'm a doctor. I've studied medical school and I've used that what I've learned to cure countless babies like yours. Trust me. Now, when anybody accuses us as parents of being narrow-minded, if we trusted that doctor and pursued the only course of treatment that was going to cure our baby. No, because that is not narrow-minded. That's acting rationally in accordance with the evidence. Well, friend, I have some bad news for you. We all have a terminal illness. And that terminal illness is called sin. And the reason we cling to Jesus Christ is because He is the great physician who has the only cure. We can try to scrub away our sin with good deeds and religious rituals, but it won't work. We can ignore it and hope it goes away, but it won't. We can sincerely think that there's another way of dealing with it, but we would be sincerely wrong. The truth is that only the great physician offers a treatment that will erase our stain of sin. When we turn to Him, we are not being narrow-minded. We are acting rationally in accordance with the evidence. It is not snobbish to believe what Jesus taught about being the way to God. Because, frankly, Christianity is anything but snobbish. That's what Christianity is like. Friends, Christianity is unique. It can't be reconciled with any other religions. And it backs up its truth, claims with the credentials and credibility of Christ. That's why when he said, "He is the way, the truth, and the life," history hasn't left. Instead, history has been revolutionized. That Jesus is the way, He is the path to a life of fulfillment and challenge and purpose. That He is the truth. And He will provide you with wisdom that works for every life, everyday life, and for the turbulent times as well. And He is the life. He and He alone can give you confidence for your future and for all eternity. Will you trust Him today? All you need to do is to confess your sin before Jesus. Believe that He died for your sin on the cross and rose again on the third day. And receive Him as your Lord and Savior from now on. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for giving us Your word and the truth of the gospel. Father, I pray that You will go out to touch the hearts of our visitors and friends today, that they may receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. Allah, we pray that Your Spirit may go out
to change hearts. Grant our visitors and friends a new heart, O Lord, so that they may be humbled before Thee. To see the need of a Savior and confess the sins before Him and receive Him as the Lord and personal Savior. Pray in us and all this in Jesus' name. Amen.